Dear friends in Jesus Christ, last week I started talking about America 250. I was referring to this new brochure that we have that ties in with the 250th celebration, not of our independence, but of our declaration of independence. It took 7 more years with the blessing of God for us to win our independence from the British. In this brochure, though, we have 3 parts. Thankful for the past, we focused on that last week. Repentant for the present, we got into that a little bit last week. We'll come to more of that today. And then at the end, ultimately, we are hopeful in the Christ. We're not hopeful in America. That's not our Savior, but Christ is our Savior. We are hopeful in Him. Last week, we took a look at all these important things. You can read about them here in the brochure, but we get a little bit on the Revolutionary War that we really should know about as American citizens, the reason why we engaged in the war, the great unlikelihood that ever could we defeat the British, God's gift of victory, a proper response that we should be giving for what God has done. And then we went into the second part a little bit, repentant for the present. And I made the statement last week, God's moral will cannot be revised by societies. So God has always told us that this is best. His word is best. Our nation was established on the truth of God's word. But what have we done, though? As a society, we've tried to alter God's word in a sense. We've tried to make changes in our society that are no longer in harmony with the Word of God. We thought somehow we could successfully oppose the Almighty God and it would be okay, but that is never, ever true. And then I made the comment last week too that all nations drift when God is ignored. I went through the second half of Romans chapter 1 and I talked about 4 key things there. I'm going to let you look them up in the brochure, but 4 key things. It's so interesting when you go from like verses 18 to 32 in Romans chapter 1, there's a certain progression there, and it's almost the exact progression of our nation over the last like 60 or 70 years. And it is not a good progression. If only everyone in our nation could see, oh, we're following this path and the end of the path is not good. If we could only see it, if we would only take it seriously, this would be a great time to repent before it is too late as a nation. So I'm hoping and praying that God will work such things out. And then I got into some specifics last week. I only touched on one of them. It's this one right here. I'm saying that we should stop reversing good and evil. Think about what we have here in Isaiah 5. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. We have done that in many ways as a nation. And when God says woe, that is a very short but powerful word where God is saying, if you keep going in that direction, you are pulling my wrath down upon yourself. It's a very serious matter. I want to go on to some other ones here today. I'm saying that we should stop this soul-destroying sexual activity. I want to shock you a little bit here. Before I do that, though, think about 1 Peter 2:11. Peter wrote, "Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers." He's talking to Christians. "Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts, which wage war against the soul." Like people think that they can engage in this sexual immorality and they can still be okay with Christ. It just doesn't work that way, but people are deceived and they think it will work out okay. And God is telling us it will not work out okay. But I want to show you, though, how many people are involved in this. According to a recent look at statistics online, it's saying that all adults in America 60% of them are engaged in sexual immorality. If we take a look at unmarried adults, 70% of them are living in sexual immorality. And if we take people who are living together without marriage, 90% of them are living in sexual immorality. And let's understand that in today's world, many, many couples are living together, they're not married, and actually many of them plan to never get married. So what are they saying? We plan to always live in sexual immorality. That is our nation. It is a very, very serious matter. Is it going to work out okay for those people? I want you to know it's not. Look at what we have here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. So in verses 9 and 10, we have 10 particular sins that are identified. If we look at only the first five, four of the first five are dealing with very common ways in the United States today that people are living in sexual immorality. Notice what it says here. Well, it starts off with the words, "Do not be deceived." Now that phrase, I've only found that four times in the New Testament. When we see that phrase in the New Testament, "Do not be deceived," what is going on there? These are common ways in which people are deceived. So when it says, "Do not be deceived," boy, this is like trying to get people's attention. This is trying to say, hey, this is a really important thing. I know you're going to be tempted to be deceived here, so don't do it. Do not be deceived. But what happened, though? So many right now, they are deceived. Notice what it says. Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals will inherit the kingdom of God. So if you're living in that way right now without repentance, and if you die right now, you're lost forever. There is no other way to put it. But is repentance something that God is calling everyone to? By all means. How powerful is repentance? Now, right here we have verses 9 and 10. Do you know what verse 11 says? It's some pretty amazing information there in verse 11. So we have all this bad news here. And keep in mind now, Paul is writing to the Corinthians. They were very wicked people. So Paul comes into Corinth. He's bringing the law. He's bringing the gospel by the work of the Holy Spirit. Many are led to faith in Christ. And then Paul goes in verse 11, and he's using the past tense. So notice when I say it, he's using the past tense. So he's saying, you were living in some of these 10 sins, but then he says, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. So in other words, he's saying to them, you guys were so filthy in sin, and yet by the power of God and the work of Christ, he has washed you completely clean. So anyone in our nation who's living in immorality, God wants to wash them completely clean. God is ready to do it. Christ has already done the work. That is the message that I'm hoping will go out to our nation. I invite you now to join me in prayer. Dear Lord, since you have bought us with a tremendous price, we belong to you, and we pray that you would help us to respond to that by glorifying you in our bodies. In Jesus' name we pray. Let me go on to the next one. I'm saying that we should stop murdering the innocent. It's such a huge problem, and yet it's so like a regular thing that we hardly think about it anymore. But let's understand, though, the highest cause of death in America is abortion. So about 1 million preborn children are murdered every year. I think it really could be much higher than that, because now women can take a pill which murders their children, and it's hard to track that kind of a statistic. It's probably way more than 1 million. What is number two as far as the biggest killer in America? That would be heart disease. It's a tragic thing when somebody dies of heart disease. Actually, 20 years ago this year is when my own father died of heart disease. So he wasn't doing that great physically, but we didn't think he would die on that day. But we got a call that he had been rushed to the hospital, and by the time we got there, he had already died. He died of heart disease. He died of a heart attack. So it's not a pleasant thing when someone dies in that way. But think about it, though. As a nation, we have legalized putting to death these preborn children. It is such a sad and serious thing. Think about what the Bible says here in Jeremiah chapter 1. You probably know it well, but God said, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." Think about that for a moment. Before I formed you, I knew you. So for every one of us, we were in God's mind and heart, in a sense, even before creation. God knew about us, and God knew that in time we would put on flesh and we would be the people we are. God wants that for everyone. And can you imagine how heartbroken God is thinking about how many people around the world are eliminating the lives of their children? Kathy and I heard someone speak on this topic years ago, and they said that in Russia, on average, every woman had aborted 10 children, on average. So certainly some of them probably had zero, maybe other ones had 20. I mean, can you imagine that? Wouldn't you be overwhelmed with guilt, thinking what you have done? God is giving you these gifts of life, and you are ending their lives. But what is amazing, though, every abortion, every sin was put on Christ. So through him, even for the abortion doctor who has taken the lives of countless preborn children, even for that abortion doctor, there is forgiveness in Christ. Isn't that so amazing that God loves us that much that he would provide full forgiveness even for the biggest sinner in the world? Forgiveness is available in Christ. God is calling everyone to repent. Let us pray. Dear Lord, as false worship in the Old Testament led to human sacrifice, so immoral sex in America has led to abortion. We pray that you would show us the evil we have legalized. We pray that you would overwhelm us with sorrow, that you would forgive us in Christ, and you would turn us to cherish every human life. In Jesus' name we pray. Just real quick, I want to go through some other ones here. I think what I'm going to do is just kind of skim through this, but the breakdown of marriage and family is so common in America today. Look at here in Malachi 2, "Take heed to your spirit and let no one deal treacherously against the wife of your youth." What about on the topic of pride and self-rule? Don't we have so much of that going on? You're familiar with the statement here in Judges, "Everyone did what was right in his own eyes." That's never a good thing, and we have so much of that in America. We have this longer passage in 1 Timothy. It's on the topic of greed and materialism. Basically, just to put it in my own words, Paul is writing to Timothy here, and he's telling him to be so careful about being drawn to riches. Riches are something that can be helpful in this life, but they can also lead us away from Christ. So whatever God gives to us, we should be thankful for that, but we should never love money. That becomes the problem, and there are many who have fallen out of love with God and fallen in love with money, and they have gone away from Jesus Christ. It's a very serious matter, and it happens probably a lot in America. Dishonesty and corruption, Proverbs 11, a false balance is an abomination to the Lord. Abomination is kind of like a woe. It is a very, very strong word. Don't we see that so much today with all this cheating and fraud, and people are trying to cheat us and fraud us and scam us and so on? Isn't that so common in our nation? So God hates that kind of thing. A false religion and idolatry. Let's understand that idolatry. Now, we might think, oh, I don't have some idol at home I'm worshiping. Well, that's not what it means. Well, it could mean that. It did mean that in the Old Testament sometimes. But when we think about idolatry, that is when we take any one or anything and make it more important than God in our lives. So here we are gathered yesterday and today here at Bethlehem. We have probably had, I would estimate, probably just a little bit less than half of our members gathering with us. What about the other half? Not in every case, but in many cases, they have said, in their own hearts, they have said, there's something more important to me than gathering at that place and hearing the word of God and focusing on Christ and receiving his body and blood for the assurance of my forgiveness. That is idolatry. Let's not fall into that. It is so common in the world today. And then finally, we come down to a refusal to repent. So Jesus made it so clear, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. We talked about that over and over again during our Lenten series earlier this year. Let's go on to the final part here, hopeful in the Christ. So our primary focus as a nation is not on our nation. Now, our nation cannot save us. We should be thankful for our nation. We should pray for our nation, but we don't trust in our nation. We are trusting in Jesus Christ. He is our focus. So Jesus, he is the Son of God in human flesh. He did live for us. He died for us. He is now risen and reigning. Jesus is offering everyone the gift of eternal life. What happens so often? We get so caught up in the temporary things of this life that we have no time for the much more important eternal things of God. Now, over here, we can see it, we can experience it. Over here, oh, I can't see anything without the eyes of faith. But with the eyes of faith, we know, like, this is so much more important. Let's be thankful that God has given us those eyes of faith. Let's feel sorry for the ones who are caught up over here and somehow they think this is the best way to go. What do we desperately need? We need the Almighty God to work in the minds and hearts of many. What do we want God to do? Show us our sins, fill us with godly sorrow, save all sinners through Jesus, and then align us, our families, our churches, our communities, our states, and our nation, not with some compromised version of the Bible, but with the full truth of the Bible. If I'm compromising the Bible when I share it with you, that's going to be a very bad thing for me. I'm going to be judged in a more strict manner, so it's important that I'm bringing you the full truth of God. And then when we receive that full truth of God, when we are reading the Bible on our own, it's so important that between the book and our own minds and hearts that we're not compromising it. Rather, we are saying, this is the word of God. This is true. This is best. Lord, help me to conform my life so it is in agreement with your holy word. So important. We also have things to thank God for as we think about our nation. Let's thank him for victory over the British. Imagine if today we were still this giant British colony. It would probably be a lot different than it is now. We do have some wise and godly leaders. Maybe not many, but we have some. Let's be thankful for them. Let's be thankful for strong and courageous soldiers willing to put their lives on the line in order to protect our freedoms. Let's be thankful for God blessing us with very powerful weapons of war. Kind of a horrible thing in a sense when you think about weapons of war, but sometimes they are necessary when we're going against great evil in the world. We're thankful for victory over many enemies. Have you guys seen the pattern? Do you understand it? That from the Revolutionary War forward through World War II, almost every major conflict that we were in as a nation were winning, 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 winning. What happened after that? Like I've said, 60 to 70 years ago, we got the Bible out of the public schools. We added in abortion. We embraced evolution. We embraced homosexuality. What has been going on, if we're really honest about it, what has been going on since World War II with our military? It's not their fault. It's the fault of our nation. But we have been losing, 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 losing. I wish our nation could see that pattern. When we were honoring our great God, he's giving us victory upon victory. And when we have turned away from him to go our own way, if we're really honest about it, we're losing, losing, losing. I've been through so many military books, and I see all these young men and women, and they are courageous people, and they are risking their lives. And how many of them died in the fight? How many of them lost arms and legs in the fight? And it's so sad. And then in the end, we ended up losing the wars. That is because we are turning away from the Almighty God. Only he can give us the victory. What else should we be thankful for? For law, order, and peace. So we're able to go to bed at night pretty confident that no one's going to break our door down in the middle of the night and try to kill us. Thank God for some law and order in our nation. And also, we should be thankful for the freedom to share God's truth. Now, we have some restrictions in our nation, and those restrictions are growing, but still, though, we have a lot of freedom to tell people the good news of Jesus. Let's take advantage of those opportunities. Finally, ending like this, we should pray for our politicians at every level that they would come to agree with God's word, that they would be financially responsible, that they would make decisions that are truly in the best interests of our citizens. We so much need that within our nation. We pray for repentance in every single heart, even in yours, even in mine. There are certainly ways that God is calling us to repent. We pray for spiritual sight, that everyone would see God's truth, that they would understand how much God loves them, and that they would receive the gift of eternal life. Wouldn't that be wonderful? And then finally, we pray for spiritual transformation as the Holy Spirit is working through the Word of God in order to work true repentance and bring many people into his kingdom. The more that happens, it's just going to be a blessing in every way. May God help us to pray about that, to do what we can to bring that about, but also understand ultimately it has to be by the Spirit through the Word. You can see with the image there, so God bless America, but if you look on the edge of it, it has the famous Bible verse, Psalm 33:12, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." Think about that. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. So if we go back in time when our nation did have God as our Lord, we were doing much better. As we've gotten away from that, now we're not doing so well, but it's not over yet though. Wouldn't this be a great time to repent and get back to being the nation we were decades ago? Wouldn't that be amazing? Are all things possible with God? They are. So let's pray that God would move us in that direction. Let us pray. Dear Lord, even though many in our nation today may be unaware or even unappreciative, let us understand that you are the one who established America. You are the one who has sustained America, and we are here today to give you our hearty thanks. Even though we are all sinful and undeserving, we pray that you would turn us and all who are in need, turn us more to you. Assure us that we are forgiven through Jesus. Remove the evil in our nation. Help us to repent in every needful way, and help us to sincerely proceed with you as our Lord and our God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.